Hello, my name is Chris Boyd and I'm a Senior Threat Researcher with GFI Software. In this HelpNet Security podcast, I'll be talking about rogue web browsers. Rogue web browsers are a particular threat that have come and gone over the last couple of years. They don't come around very often, but when they do, they tend to cause a lot of trouble. They were primarily at their peak in 2006-2007, when the old school adware vendors were at their peak. They were making lots of money, there were lots of third-party affiliate installs, and these rogue web browsers were a way of making a lot of affiliate cash and placing a lot of malicious things onto users' PCs at the same time. We're talking about rogue web browsers that imitate the real thing. They try and ride on the success of popular well-known browsers, so they will imitate logos, names, they will emphasize the fact that they're very secure, they will perform actions on the desktop that make the user think they are being protected, when in actual fact, like rogue AV programs, they're all about trying to scam the end user. So one of the first examples actually came about on a mobile phone rather than a PC, which was called Red Browser, which was a fake web browser for your phone. It claimed to send free SMS messages, and in actual fact, what it did was send an infinite loop of messages behind the scenes, unbeknownst to the owner of the phone, for a premium rate service. And if you were on a pay-as-you-go phone, that wasn't a problem. If you were on a contract of some description, it was a huge problem, and it cost a lot of people a lot of money. And it looks like a lot of the cool web search groups that were around at the time that installed all sorts of malware and spyware and exploits wanted a piece of this fake browser action. They found a way that they could fool end users with a legitimate looking program and make some cash at the same time. So the first one that we saw was called Yap Browser, which was in 2006. And this looked like a legitimate web browser. You could download it yourself. There were no hijacks. There were no system exploits. It did come bundled with Zango Adware, but that was all notified and disclosed. And it didn't look like it would be a problem. But when the end user actually ran the program, they typed in the web address of their choice and hit the big green go button, they were actually redirected to illegal content, an incredibly dubious pornography. And the website that it served up had a lot of links, paid for links where you could visit these dubious websites and pay for illegal content. And if you went Googling some of the various sites that were involved, you got all sorts of incredibly dubious websites back. You had content removed from Google search because it had been illegal pornography basically in there. And you know, if you ended up with this on your PC, in your work or at home, you thought you were going to, you know, run a regular web browser and you ended up on one of these websites, you would probably be very annoyed to say the least. And this was a particularly malicious scam that kept on going for a couple of months, and the distribution was pulled. It's a good example of the way the old adware vendors' affiliate chains were completely out of control, actually. And all of the domain information, the Whois data, all pointed back to cool web search groups. Like Dimpy, Big Books, lots of groups that were operated out of Russia. And quite often throughout the history of rogue web browsers, you would see that there was a whiff of cool web search groups. So there was a browser called Browzilla, which claimed to let you surf a porn safely. Looked like a regular web browser, emphasized security again, but when you actually installed it on your PC, unbeknownst to the end user, it was opening up pornographic websites out of sight and clicking them to artificially inflate the hit count. Now, this browser came and went, and another one replaced it literally the month after, called NetBrowser Pro, which was the pinnacle of rogue web browser tech. It did everything but throw the kitchen sink at you. It claimed to be safe and secure. It claimed you should download it instead of Firefox because Firefox had had 57 system vulnerabilities in the year, and this thing would store your bookmarks remotely for you so nobody could find your porno bookmarks, something that Browzilla actually claimed as well. And if you looked at both websites for both products, they both also shared the same IP address, so it was clearly the same group of individuals behind it. Some of the techniques involved were similar to the techniques used for Yap Browser, which was a cool web search group. So was it the same handful of groups making these things all the way along? There's no real way to know for sure. But in terms of NetBrowser Pro, it didn't want you going off looking at other people's random porno. It wanted you to stay on their websites and look at their content, and that was it. So they provided a list of random porno websites when you open the browser up. Most of those redirected you to exploits and system vulnerabilities. They were trying to open up fake codecs to make you think that you needed to play the films, and you just made the infections on the system worse and worse and worse and worse. So they were trying to control you, they were trying to keep you on their own porno sites where they could hijack and download malware at will, unfortunately. And on top of everything else, they also installed a rootkit. So they could, you know, hide things on the PC, they could download more malware, and it was a very malicious, sophisticated piece of kit. And then when the old adware industry died off at the end of 2007, 2008, when all the adware vendors were sued into the ground or ran out of town by the New York Attorney General Estate, the FTC, a lot of these installs stopped being profitable for the scammers. They had no real way to make money from these installs, and survey scams were on the rise, so people were making easy money through surveys rather than making these fake web browsers from scratch. A couple of years later, fake web browsers returned, rogue web browsers returned, but without the money-making aspect. It was all about attacking people online. So there was one that was called the MySpace Lottery, which enabled the person running the program to seek out private MySpace forum groups, click the button, one click of the button, and it, using various exploits on MySpace, it would show you the content of the hidden site, so you could track your victims, you could see what they were doing, you could talk to them and freak them out if you wanted to, or you could just take notes and keep it for future use. And then after that, the rogue web browser basically disappeared. There wasn't an awful lot more you could do with it. And things have popped up from time to time, specifically, interestingly enough, in the mobile field, where in the last couple of months, a number of different fake web browsers have appeared on both regular phones and Android phones. I think they were claiming to be Mini Opera. One was a Mini Opera browser, one was an Opera browser update. Both of which installed junk on the phone, both of which did the typical SMS premium rate text scams. So it seems like people would be more likely to try out and download these weird and wonderful browsers on their phone than they would on their PC, because on their PC, people are generally happy with, you know, Internet Explorer, Chrome, Firefox. They're not really going to go off hunting down these weird and not so wonderful programs. But on their phone, majority of people aren't aware that these rogue web browsers are on the PC. They're definitely not going to know that they're on their mobile phone, and so it could be quite interesting over the next couple of months, the next year or so, to see if fake web browsers, rogue web browsers, do make some sort of comeback on the mobile platform. And I think that is everything I have to say about that one. Thank you.